is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark this Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Do your kitchens smell good yet? Mine smelled great last night, and now I'm getting ready to do some baking after the show today. I have my mother-in-law's famous Mexican chocolate cupcakes that I'll be making. She made it in a cake form, but I gotta say, I'm not the world's greatest baker. Cupcakes are a little bit more foolproof. But everybody enjoys them. Plus, you get to eat like several, and you still don't feel full. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Online all the time. My website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. Yesterday, we had a very active, I should say interactive show. Everybody was tweeting during the show for the different things that we had going on. If you'd like to join that conversation, we're already online chatting at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. You can follow me and then tweet along as we do things on the show today. Well, there's a huge amount of news given that it's the day before Thanksgiving, so I think we should just start at the top. We are going to talk about Black Friday and even Blacker Thursday. There's just a firestorm of protest around folks who are just unhappy that stores are opening up on Thanksgiving evening, making people work, in addition to, cleaning up the Thanksgiving dishes, which in my book is enough as well. I mean, we have 25 people coming. It's a lot of dishes to wash up, and then to go out and man the desk at Target has folks a little bit up in arms. So we're going to talk about that as well. Mortgage interest rates dropped to a brand new low. I think that's where we'll start today. Freddie Mac released its numbers. The 30-year fixed rate loan averaged 3.98%, but an adjustable rate mortgage hit an all new record low. It averaged 2.79% this week, with an average of just over a half a point in fees. It's down from last week when it was just under 3%. We're now talking about almost 2.25%. 2.75% for a one-year Treasury indexed adjustable rate mortgage. A year ago, the one-year ARM averaged 3.25%. So we're down a half a point, half a percent from a year ago. 30-year fixed rate mortgage, it's under 4% again. It's fallen again. A year ago, we were almost at 4.5%. The 15-year fixed rate mortgage, this week, it averaged 3.33% with an average of a 0.7% point. Down from last week, slightly above that. A year ago, it was 3.75%. The 5-1 adjustable rate mortgage, right? Averaged 2.91% this week. It's down from just under 3% a week ago. A year ago, the 5-year adjustable rate mortgage was 3.5%. So we have seen mortgage interest rates continue this decline. And the stock market, of course, is having a very rough week. According to Frank Nottaff, who's the vice president and chief economist for Freddie Mac, he is saying that what we're seeing is, just this downward pressure from all quarters. So the Bureau of Economic Analysis revised its third quarter GDP growth downward from an initial estimate of 2.5% for the year down to 2%. That's actually a big drop. Federal Reserve said it was seeing weaker business activity for November in Philadelphia and Chicago. That made bond traders react. National Association of Realtors, we talked about this yesterday. There was a 1.4% pickup in existing home sales in October, but prices are down. And the NAR is also reporting that contract cancellations were up in October as well, significantly up. As many as a third of all realtors, I think, are having at least one contract cancel. And this is restraining sales. We're not seeing a bigger rebound because people cannot get to the closing table. So all of these different economic factors are coming into play, and bond traders are nervous, and the price is getting beaten down. That's good news for, anybody who can refinance, and I sure hope you are. But it's not so good news if you are underwater and you can't refinance. And for that, we're going to have to hope that the new Home Affordable Refinance Program, otherwise known as HARP 2.0, from the government is going to step in and help everybody out. Really, it could just be a boost to the economy. If people who have a 6% loan are able to refinance to a 4% loan or a 3.5% loan, it can only help by giving us a little more money to spend. Other economic news today, personal income came out. That's really unchanged. We're also seeing spending start to drop. Be very interesting to see what happens this holiday season. We'll talk a little bit more about that when we start talking about Black Friday, which is going to be soon. 404-872-0750. Happy to take your calls today on the Clark Howard Show. Money, real estate, whatever's on your mind, shopping. We've got some tips for you. Also, some of the early deals are out, and we're going to be giving you some ways to spend and not spend yourself broke. We don't want to do that for sure. 12 minutes past the hour, let's go to the phones. Linda joins us on the line from McDonough. Hi, Linda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine.
What's on your mind?
I have a question concerning my credit scores.
Mm-hmm.
There's a substantial difference between, TransUnion and Experian are very close. One 763, the other one 780. Equifax, however, is much lower, and I don't understand why, because the accounts are almost identical, and the amount that I owe is identical.
Well, give me those scores again. What's TransUnion?
763.
Okay, and what is Experian?
780.
Okay, and what is your Equifax score?
682.
So let me see if I can shed a little light on it. TransUnion and Experian use often, and I think this is probably the case for you, are using a different scoring system. So their scoring system is out of like 999, let's say.
Okay.
And Equifax is only out of 850.
Okay.
And Equifax is very tied into the FICO score, right? Fair Isaacs created the credit score, and that's the one that most lenders use.
Okay.
TransUnion and Experian are using, I believe, I don't know this for sure, but just based on your score differential, are using the Vantage score.
Mm-hmm.
So the Vantage score is a new score that sort of has been developed to compete with the FICO score. It's not all that popular as of yet, but they're trying to make it more popular as a profit center for them,
mm-hmm.
and it allows for more competition. The problem is, think of the Vantage score as being like a, if you're in the, like school, right? So if you're in the 900s, it's an A. If you're in the 800s, it's a B. If you're in the 700s, it's a C.
Okay.
If you're in the 600s, it's a D.
Mm-hmm.
Equifax is on 850. And so those, it seems to me that what your score grade, if you want to put it, is a C on the Vantage score from TransUnion and Experian, and you're at 682 on Equifax. I would call that not optimal. It's like a C+. So your scores are actually more in line with each other than it would seem just simply by the number. Now, if you have outstanding credit, which if the Experian and TransUnion scores were actually on the FICO scale,
mm-hmm.
763 and 780 would be outstanding scores. So then there would be a problem because Equifax is so much lower for you.
Well, they're showing them at their high score is 850 on all three.
Well, then do you feel like you have excellent credit?
Yeah.
Do you have any problems?
I've been working on it. I'll tell you, on 7/20, I pulled my report.
Okay, on July 20th?
Mm-hmm. TransUnion was 690, Experian was 697, and Equifax was 650.
Okay.
Today, on the 23rd, I pulled it. I just gave you those scores.
Right.
So, I found some errors. I got those fixed. And I've worked on paying down so that I owe less than 50% of what my amount.
Than your maximum credit limit?
Yeah.
I'd love to see that below 30%, by the way.
Well, I'm working on it.
Okay.
But I've done it on every account except one, and I'm working on it, too. But so the other two have gone up substantially more than Equifax has gone up. With the fixing the errors.
Okay,
and
but do you have errors still on the Equifax that haven't been fixed,
no,
do you think?
No, they're off.
And so the other ones have bounced back, but Equifax has not.
Well, it went from 650 to 682, which I don't really consider that a very good bounce.
No. Not at all.
Not
so
considering Experian went from 697 to 780.
Yeah, that was a nice bounce.
Yeah.
Well, if you go to apply for a mortgage, the good news is that they take the middle score.
Okay.
So your TransUnion at 763 would be the middle score. They don't average them. They just take the middle.
Okay.
So,
well, I'm not looking at doing that. It's just that I very much want to keep my credit looking good, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you know, you never know when something comes up and you might need to go get a loan or something like that. And I know that today is much harder to get money than it used to be.
I would,
for obvious reasons.
Absolutely.
And so I just couldn't figure out the difference between the three. Two are in line with each other and one doesn't seem to be.
Not seem to be. So none of the scores are all different. So everybody has, each one of these credit reporting bureaus has its own formula based on the FICO model.
Okay.
And then they have the Vantage model.
Uh-huh.
So if you've ascertained that it's out of 850, which means generally you should have excellent credit, Equifax could either be taking a little bit longer to move up the scale for you.
Uh-huh.
And maybe in another month or two, their number is going to look, you know, over 700.
Yeah.
Or it could be that there's something else that they weight more heavily, like maybe they take the 50% of credit utilization.
Uh-huh.
Maybe they weight that more heavily.
I don't know.
Maybe they, you know, nobody knows because this is like a big, deep, dark secret. But
it just seems like that always Equifax has been lower than the other two, always.
Well, I'll give you a couple of resources. So one of the things that Equifax has is the Equifax Finance blog, which I've been involved with since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Equifax credit experts who actually talk about their credit and the, you know, what goes on with credit on the blog. And you can certainly talk to them on the blog or through their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask that question. And somebody's always monitoring it. I talked about this yesterday on the show, that social media has become a direct line to people who actually know things at big companies.
Uh-huh.
They're putting significant resources behind it. So all the big companies have Facebook pages. They all have Twitter accounts. And when you are on there, you are actually connected to somebody who is able to marshal resources to get answers.
Okay, now what's their Facebook? How do I get to their Facebook page?
You just go to facebook.com.
Right.
And it's Equifax.
Okay, Equifax. Okay.
So that is, you know, for anybody who's looking for sort of corporate response,
mm-hmm.
I have to say social media has become the number one place.
Oh, it's the same for everything. Really.
It is the same thing, right, exactly. And then in terms of, you know, what is going on with your errors, I would probably give it just a little bit more time to see, because stuff doesn't bounce back overnight. It's been a couple of months, but it would be great to see if it bounced back, say, in another month or so.
Yeah, well, I'm checking it like every other month.
That's good.
To see what's going on with it, because when I first started checking it and it was low, I wanted to see what I could do to get it up. And the first thing was to get the errors off of it, which I did that. I had a company, fortunately, that was very cooperative and actually admitted that they had reported an error.
Well, that is great, because that doesn't happen. So you really got customer service, not customer no service.
That's right. I did. And I was very fortunate. And they actually wrote Equifax a letter. Well, wrote them all a letter and explained to them that those were erroneous. And they took them off.
Well, I think that's really great. I think, you know, checking on it again in another 2 months is going to be a good, I think you'll continue to see improvement, but it sounds like you're doing all the right things. And again, get that credit utilization score, you know, ratio down as low as you can. Below 30% would be ideal. And I know you're working on it, just because borrowing money these days, you want to show that you're in control and you're managing things as well as you can. Linda, thank you so much for your call. Happy Thanksgiving. 404-872-0750. It's 20 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 26 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Clark today. Thanks for joining us here. 404-872-0750 on Twitter at Glink, at GLINK. Joe joins us on the line from Cumming. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Elise. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I just wanted to let you know. You may not remember me. I spoke with you last March. We were having a problem with a lender not accepting our payment and sending it back. And even though we'd had a previous agreement with Bank of America, they kept sending the payment back and wouldn't give us any traction. With the information that you provided me and cross-referenced with the information that Clark provided and a couple other folks, we were finally able to get the lender to approve a home modification for us.
Wow. Good. That is like such a great Thanksgiving news. I'm so excited. I don't know what to do.
Well, and I wanted to thank you because you promised you would do something, and you did. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of a Thanksgiving thank you for what you do and what Clark does and all you folks. It is vital. You give us the ammunition to negotiate and, if necessary, do battle with these lenders. And in this case, we proved victorious. And my family, consisting of my 5-year-old, my 2.5-year-old, my wife, and our 3 dogs and 2 cats, can't thank you enough. It's really been helpful.
Joe, you have absolutely made my week. Seriously, I have helped so many people try to cut red tape and connect those dots. And even when somebody like Clark or myself, when we get involved, it doesn't always work out. So to find out from you that you're going to actually be able to stay in your home for Thanksgiving and the holidays, man, that just feels amazing. Thank you for calling and sharing. And I'm so glad you've got so much, this especially, to be thankful for this holiday season. It's 28 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Link, sitting in for Clark. Join us, 404-872-0750 on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk, WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM. News Talk, WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Clark today. Glad you could join us here on News Talk WSB. Our number, 404-872-0750. Online all the time. My website is thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. You can join us in this conversation we're having online as well. My Twitter account is at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. And we also tweet a whole bunch from our Facebook page as well. Just go to Facebook.com, Elise Glink. So how would you like to be paid $100,000 and defer going to college for a couple of years, right? Don't go to college. That is what Peter Thiel is saying. Peter Thiel is one of the early investors in Facebook. He was a co-founder of PayPal, and he's one of these guys, these genius guys like Bill Gates and Steve Jobs, who never, I believe he didn't finish college, and he doesn't necessarily think college is perfect for everybody. And what he's trying to do is get more young kids who have really good ideas for starting businesses to start them. And for those who apply for the class of 2012, he is looking for a whole bunch of entrepreneurs that he can give. He's opening the door to 20 under 20 fellowships. So if you are under 20 and you have a really good idea and you need $100,000 to put that into place, you can apply to the Thiel Foundation, T-H-I-E-L, the Thiel Foundation, and skip the traditional timeline and head straight for Entrepreneurship 101, if that's right for you. The way he put it is that every moment in history happens only once. If you have a good idea, the right time to work on it is right now. And last year he did this. The first class of fellows, he said, is busy working on difficult challenges to improve the lives of people across the world. And we're looking forward to helping 20 more people skip college and start changing the world. It's such an interesting concept, isn't it? I mean, the idea of skipping college, sort of interesting. Now, earlier this week, we had news that Woody Allen and Mia Farrow's son, some kind of genius, apparently, was just named a Rhodes Scholar. And he basically got done with college at age 15. He went to Bard College, finished at 15, went to law school, probably finished that at 17 or 18. And he's been working, I think, for the State Department. And now he's going to be a Rhodes Scholar and go off and study, I believe it's at Oxford. and do something new. And so I think what Peter Thiel is trying to, you know, think about is how do you get people to see the world in a little bit different way. There are programs, there is a set way that you could go about it, right? High school, college, graduate school, and sometime in your late 20s you start actually doing something. And his idea is that maybe you can do something a little different. So the fellowship will offer 20 youngsters born before December 31st, 1991, oh my gosh, am I old, $100,000 each to fuel scientific, technical, nonprofit, or otherwise imaginative ideas. Teams of up to 4 people are accepted. You must apply by December 31st, 2011 at 11:59 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. So it's like 5 hours ahead of where it is here in New York or on the East Coast to be considered for the 2012 class. You then get 2 years to develop your idea. And Jonathan Kanin, who is the president of the Thiel Foundation, said, our world is suffering from a lack of innovation. And you can't build a world-changing company in between classes or while servicing 6 figures of debt. It's fascinating. So if you want more information, you can go to the Thiel Foundation, T-H-I-E-L, Foundation, I believe it's .org, for more details. 404-872-0750 is our number here on the station. Let's go back to the phones. Jim joins us on the line from Ackworth. Hi, Jim.
How you doing, Lise?
Good.
Like your last caller, I called you, but this was about a year ago. I'm one of those weird people that got into an arm. It was a 5-1 arm that then had, you know, renewed every year after that.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 years ago when I did it, it was very, very smart to get into it.
Sure.
It was a much lower interest rate and it was locked in for 5 years and everything else. Well, fast forward to 8 years later, I called you last year about this exact same time, I believe. And I said, my 1 year renewal was about ready to come up and it was going to renew at 3%. And I said, what did you think I should do? Because I'm, you know, very insecure about rising interest rates and things like that.
Sure.
And you,
who isn't?
You said at the time, you didn't see a whole lot going on in the marketplace in mortgage rates. You said, you know, it's probably going to flounder, not do a whole lot of up or down or anything else. And so that caused me not to refinance at that time. And I'm at 3%. I think it's probably going to renew at 3% or even maybe 2.75 this year. Okay.
That's amazing.
Like.
Can you imagine? Just
no,
amazing.
It is amazing. But I've still got 22 years left on a mortgage. So, you know, not to mention the fact that my home probably is, well, I know it's gone up and then back down. It's probably about what I paid for it 8 years ago or whatever. So, as far as what it's worth. So my question to you is, would you just, you know, take it easy another year and see what interest rates do? Would you refinance low rates that are at, you know, we're sitting at right now, which you just announced at the beginning of your show? Or would you go to the bank and see, is there something else that you can, you know, can they convert me to a fixed mortgage somehow? Or how do you do that?
Well, they can't convert you, so you'll have to refinance. I think this is a very good time to take the bite and convert. I don't know. You didn't say you're doing an interest only, right? It's just a standard 5-1 with regular amortization schedule, correct?
That's correct, yeah.
So you're paying equity into it. Do you think you have about 20% down, like 20% equity?
Yeah, I probably got close to it. I mean, certainly, you know, it went. My home went up way up probably 5 years ago, and now it's. I would suspect it's probably in the neighborhood of about what I paid for it 8 years ago. So it's, you know, it's. I probably have 25-30% equity
okay.
in the house.
All I care about is that you have 20%.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you refinance, if you have less than 20%, you get stuck with PMI. And the costs for private mortgage insurance have skyrocketed. And so
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people, refinancing just doesn't make sense simply because then they now have to pay private mortgage insurance and it's an extra 0.5% or 0.75%. Or if an FHA loan, there's like a 1.5% fee. It's all pretty darn expensive. But if you've got 20%, I think what you should try to do is trade your 22-year loan for a 15-year loan.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be around 3%. and it would be probably the payment slightly more than you're paying now, but you would shave off, what, you know, seven years of a loan.
Yeah.
So you would save so much money.
Okay, great. That's great advice, and as long as I don't have to pay you a commission for all the money you've been saving me, that's great.
I'll tell you what. Instead of paying me a commission, you can find some really amazing charity that helps people who maybe don't have enough to eat, which is my special thing that I worry about, is kids particularly having enough to eat this time of year. And the Census Bureau came out with new numbers showing that maybe as many as 16 to 20% of kids go to bed hungry. Take $100 of your savings, and if you make that donation, that'll be just fine. We'll call it even.
I'll do that. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for letting me know what happened. It's 45 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB, 404-872-0750. I am so sensitive this time of year when I am so fortunate, as many of you are, to actually have a laden Thanksgiving table that so many people do not. And that's just, it's a... For those of you who have listened to my show for a long time, you know that cooking is near and dear to my heart, and this is feeding people is what I love to do, and that's what where I try to put some of my extra energy. 45 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Let's go back to the phones. Tony joins us on the line from Alpharetta. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, Tony.
Well, thank you, Elise. I appreciate that. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Thank you. How can I help you today?
Well, I've got a couple of things going on. One is the federal tax lien, and I'm getting hammered every afternoon with calls from this guy and that guy that's going to help me out either with an offering compromise or an abatement program. So I'm really kind of lost as which way to go. Some of these, you know, guys that specialize in this, get a real attorney or do it myself.
Well, you could. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago we had on some friends of my show who are enrolled agents, Bill Nemeth and Mary Brody, and this kind of a conversation came up. Somebody else, believe it or not, has a federal tax lien, and they called in for some help. And Bill and Mary said, of course you can handle this yourself. You just may not want to. So making an understanding, like, for example, if you find an enrolled agent, and a CPA ought to be able to do this too, but an enrolled agent is licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. They can pull down the transcripts of everything that has gone on with your case and look at it and help you position yourself in the best place. So if you're going to hire somebody, it's probably the most cost-effective way to go. I don't like companies that offer to do big deals and they've got ideas for you. You know, you either do it yourself or you go with somebody who actually, I think, can make a difference. So the website for the enrolled agents, it's the Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents. It's the number 4GAEA.org. And you can search for an enrolled agent by location, all the counties in Georgia. And you can look up, you know, who everybody is. They have a board of directors. I think Bill is the current president, and that's why he comes on the show. In fact, they're going to come back on the show before the end of the year. When I fill in for Clark, last week of the year, they're going to. We've been talking about having them come on the show to do some last-minute tax planning before the end of the year. So I think they're pretty smart, and I think they'll give you some good advice. And so that's how I would handle it.
Well, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And now, do you have a ballpark on their fees? I'm hearing such a range in everybody's fee.
I don't know what they charge, but it's my understanding is it's very reasonable. They charge by the hour. You can have, I'm sure, a free consultation where they can lay out the strategy and what they would do and what they would charge you. And there should be no, they're very, very nice. All the enrolled agents I've ever met have been really lovely. The trick is that things get busier as the end of the year goes on, so they work with their clients, like all tax people do, like my business. You know, we have our appointment scheduled for the year-end consultation next week. You just want to do it sooner rather than later so that you don't wind up middle of the month, it's vacations and holidays, and nobody can help you.
Well, I appreciate that. And do you have an archive of that show that they were on just recently from your website?
You know, I do, I think. Go to thinklink.com.
Yeah.
And you should be able to find it. You know what I'll do? In today's blog, I'll do a blog post for today's show, and I'll link to it. Because I think we just put it up, and you can listen to it. But if you just go to my website and search Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, it should pop up, or Bill Nemeth, N-E-M-E-T-H.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a good afternoon.
I will. You too. Thanks for calling the show. 404-872-0750 on the Clark Howard Show. You know, we do have on thinklink.com about 8,000 pages of information. Hard to imagine after all of these years that we've been working for you guys. But there are just great resources and great information on the show. So if you even just search, and I just did this in real time, GAEA, Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, GAEA on the search, it all pops up. There were 37 results, and it shows you the archives and where you can go and listen to the show. We also take all of our shows and we stream them on iTunes. So if you're looking for a particular show, you can find it there as well. It's 50 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 55 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glink. Thanks for listening today, 404-872-0750. Online all the time, thinkglink.com. Cheryl joins us on the line from Norcross. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Getting ready for tomorrow.
I know. I know. How many people are you having?
Actually, it's a small group this year, only about seven. My niece just had a baby in Memphis, and my sister and the rest of them are out there with her.
Oh, congratulations. That's lovely.
And just this morning at 9 o'clock.
Oh, my gosh. Almost a Thanksgiving baby. Perfect.
Yep.
Well, how can I help you today?
Well, I have five properties. One is my primary residence. The other ones are four. The other four are rental properties, and all but one of the rental properties are paid off, and that is at a loan of 6.125. And I was wondering if it would be wise to do a cash out on my primary residence to pay that one off, so I can get a lower.
Uh-oh, we lost Cheryl. Well, it sounds like she's asking if she can. Well, maybe she'll call back. But how do you do a cash out on the one so that you can have a pay off the others instead? We're going to have to figure out where Cheryl went. We'll come back. Hopefully she'll call us back. Let's continue on with the calls. Amy joins us on the line. Hey, Amy, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
Sure. How can I help you today?
Wanted to know what you thought about a refinance. Is that I'm a person with perfect credit, and I've always been kind of ticked off about these people that don't have perfect credit. They get all the good deals on mortgage rates with refinancing, and finally my major name brand bank has what they call the three-step program, and they will give me a 15-year loan at 3.85.
Okay.
And there's no closing costs.
I love that.
And it sounded pretty good to me, but I just wondered if that was the right way to go or not, because
I love not paying a whole lot in closing costs. In fact, you're trading a higher interest rate, and you may want to shop this around, because you may not realize this, but you don't have to refinance with them unless you don't have any equity in the house.
Oh, I got lots of equity.
Lots of equity. So you can shop it around. Right now, a 15-year loan, and I announced this at the top of the show, are at an all-time low of just about 3.25%. So what your lender is saying to you is, we're not going to charge you any closing costs, but we're going to charge you about 0.5% higher than the going rate. I think a more fair amount is about 0.25% higher with no closing costs. But who's arguing? It's a 15-year loan at under 4%. But you may want to just shop around and see if you can get a little bit of a better deal, because as long as you're going to go through the headache of refinancing, you might as well see. Now, I would try and talk to a credit union if you belong to one or you can join one. You've got the big lender thing happening. You may want to look at a competing big lender, right? And then a small regional bank. They tend to have really good deals right now on mortgages. So shop it around, but you know, from the face of it, it's not a bad deal. I don't think I'd walk away from it. 404-872-0750. It's 58 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Stay tuned for more and Black Friday information on News Talk WSB.
This is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Clark Clark Howard Show. It is 7 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Clark today and Friday as we talk about Black Friday and get ready for shopping on Cyber Monday as well. Cyber Monday is the day that everybody goes back to work after the weekend. You've had Black Friday. I don't know what color Saturday is. By Monday, everybody is just really busy and getting ready to shop online. And that's sort of interesting. Now, there have been so many interesting developments for Black Friday this year. One of the big developments is how many people are opening up on Thursday for the Black Friday sales. I mean, at first, do you remember, like 10, 12 years ago, this was like, well, we're going to open at 6 a.m., and then 5 a.m., and then 4 a.m., midnight. And now we have Kmart, which is actually opening up at 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day. They are the earliest this year. They're not even waiting till Friday. They're opening up at 6 a.m. on Thanksgiving Day. Toys R Us is opening up at 9 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day, 1 hour earlier. Walmart is third, opening up at 10 p.m. on Turkey Day. All right? Ace Hardware, excuse me, Ace Hardware is going to be opening up at midnight on Friday, right? So AC Moore is going to be at 5 p.m. on Friday, excuse me, 5 a.m. on Friday. Best Buy is midnight. Half Price Books is on Friday. JCPenney is at 4 a.m. on Friday. Kmart, we already talked about, they're on Thanksgiving Day. Macy's is opening up at 4 a.m. on Friday, and they will be online. The online store, I guess, is going to be open all day on Thanksgiving as well. Office Max at 6 a.m. on Friday. They're offering a deal that's $15 off a $100 Visa or MasterCard gift card, or save $15 on a $100 Visa or MasterCard gift card. Kohl's is opening up at Friday at midnight, and you get a $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 you spend through November 27th with a coupon from the Black Friday flyers. You should look out for that. Old Navy is opening up at 9 a.m. Thanksgiving and midnight on Friday, so they must close for a little bit of time. I'm not really sure. You can see the deals are absolutely amazing. Old Navy is opening up at 9 a.m. on Thanksgiving and midnight on Friday, and they're offering a Kodak EasyShare Sport Waterproof Digital Camera Bundle. Wow. With $40 purchase while supplies last. Hopefully there's more than two per store. Rite Aid is opening up at 7 a.m. on Thanksgiving at select stores. Sears, 4 a.m. on Friday. They've got a Real Deal coupon book you can pick up with $3,000 in savings that start November 27th. Sports Authority is opening up at 5 a.m. on Friday. The first 80 people in line at each Sports Authority receive bonus bucks valued between $10 and $500. We talked about Target opening up midnight to 11 p.m. on Friday. And you can learn about the unadvertised deals at Target by texting more TVs to Target. So I guess they have all of those kinds of deals. CouponSherpa.com has more of these deals online. You can find them. CouponSherpa, S-H-E-R-P-A.com. And there is this kind of respect the bird movement where people have been filing, I don't know, complaints with some of these stores saying, hey, let people enjoy Thanksgiving. Let them enjoy it. There's plenty of time to shop on Friday and Saturday. Everybody's trying to beat it all out. Honestly, next year I expect the Black Friday deals to actually start on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. 404-872-0750. We're going to talk about some shopping strategies when we come back, or a little bit later on the show, so stay tuned for that. In the meantime, let's continue on with some calls. Jack joins us on the line from Loganville. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Elise. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. I appreciate you taking my call, and I really want to thank you for all the help you've given people. I've listened to you for a long time, and you've really helped me quite a bit, I know.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that. That's a great Thanksgiving gift.
I have a question for you. I will be 59 and a half in the end of February. I have about $240,000 in a 401k, and we're looking at buying a condo on the beach in Florida. The condo value we can buy it for is about $90,000. It appraised for tax purposes 3 years ago for just at $200,000. The money that I have in the 401k right now, since I'm only going to work maybe 6 or 7 more years, I've got it in a conservative fund, and I'm only earning about between 1 and 1.5% on the money.
Well, nobody's earning much more than that right now, so you're not doing too badly.
That's right. And my thought was, though, if I know property over the years in Florida particularly has gone up and down, you know, ebbed and tied with the market, but if I can buy this condo for a little less than 50 cents on the dollar and keep it for 7 or 8 years, let the market come back up again, and then potentially sell it, I think I can make more doing that than I could leaving this money in the 401k.
So couple of things to think about. First of all, I'm not sure. I don't know where this condo is on the beach, but I'm not sure the market's going to come back up in 6 or 7 years. So
well,
you have
it's in Destin, Florida, and that's been a pretty good area. My wife's parents lived there for years and years, and we watched the property values over the last 20 years in that area, and that's pretty much what they have been doing in the past, if that's any indication of
well, okay,
future.
So let's talk about Destin a little bit. And it is not, in my mind, indicative of the future. So Destin did have a ridiculously strong run-up. Hmm. And at the height of the market, about every year, property prices were doubling. So a friend of mine came to me and said, I'm thinking of buying a beach condo in Destin, and the guy it sold 2 years ago for $500,000, and then my guy bought it for $1 million, and now he wants to sell it for $1.5 million. What do you think? And I said, run really, really fast. And sure enough, it fell all the way back to below, I don't know, maybe back to even $500,000 or $600,000. So mm-hmm. Destin was its own little unique bubble, not dissimilar to others in the area, but it was its own. And I'm not convinced that the demand for Destin has shored that up. I don't know, because I haven't been there in a while.
Right.
But you'd want to go look at the look at the foreclosures and see. Now, 90,000 is a far cry from 1.5 million, so we're not talking about that kind of a bubble. And maybe this is the low for Destin. I just would like you to be prepared for more than a 6 or 7 year turnaround, because in 6 or 7 years it could be worth maybe only slightly more than it's worth right now, and you'd actually on a net basis lose money. Now, if you tell me I want to enjoy this condo, I'm thinking about living there half time after I do retire, I'm going to rent it out, you've got a strategy in mind for it, it's a different story. So now let's talk about the money, because if you're going to buy it for yourself as a second home, if you have enough for a 20% down payment, money is so cheap right now that you're better off not paying the taxes. Because if you take out $90,000,
right,
even if you don't have to pay the penalty, you're still going to pay 40% in tax.
Mm-hmm.
So to get the $90,000, you really have to take out like $150,000 or $170,000. That just like kills me. So instead, I'd rather see if you could borrow from your 401k, if your company has a borrowing program, I'd rather see you borrow enough for a 20% down payment,
mm-hmm.
so the $20,000 if you don't have that, and get a loan for the rest.
Right.
And then you can pay yourself back over the next 5 years, because it's not that much money.
Right.
And at least what you're doing is you're borrowing really cheap.
Yes.
That would be, I think, a better use.
Okay. Well, we have done some research on it. We've been looking for the last 4 or 5 months, and we have looked at a lot of foreclosures. This one being right on the beach with a beach view, I haven't found anything in that price range that has the beach view that this one does. And I understand what you're saying, and my thought was to pay it off completely and not have a mortgage. Now, I do have 3 years worth of history on the unit where it has rented in the past, and it is rented for enough to pay for all the expenses, and the owners actually made between $6,000 and $10,000 a year for the last 3 years, which have not been the greatest years, but he has made that in profit above what he's paid out. And that was sort of what we were looking for, was not to have if the unit paid for itself, not to have a mortgage on it, use it ourselves as much as we or the kids or our grandkids would like to use it, and get the enjoyment out of it. And then, you know, I calculated on the interest that my money's earning now over a 7 year period, I wouldn't earn more than $14,000.
I think it's a great plan. I really do. I think that I like a lot about this plan. You've been thoughtful about it. It sounds like there's a good income potential. I think that if you have extra money, the thing you want to do is pay back the 401k as quickly as you can.
Right.
Right? And then start paying down the loan, which will be about $70,000.
Right.
$60,000 or $70,000. I would just start doing that, and then then over the 6 or 7 years, if you're really going to make that much money and profit from this property, you're going to pretty much own this property without a mortgage at the end of 7 or 8 years.
Right.
And I think that's a pretty decent way to go about doing it. So I don't have a problem with that at all. It sounds like a pretty well thought out plan. I would just try to borrow the 20% down payment and try and get one of these super low, under 4% loans for it. And I would try to do, like, you know, it's not that much money, so I would try to do a 15-year loan or a 10-year loan instead of a 30-year mortgage.
Right. Now, let me ask you one more question. If you bought this property for say, $90,000, and it was not your primary residence, and I sold it some point down the road in the future, what are the tax implications? Let's just say that I sold it for $150,000.
Sure. You would owe, it would be a long-term capital gain for you, assuming you own it longer than 12 months.
Right.
And you would, assuming you didn't take depreciation, just a straight, you own it and you're not writing off any piece of it, you would just own the long-term capital gain plus state tax.
So it's better to do that than to use it as rental property and take the depreciation and take our visits down there or anything else, write those off as well?
I think you complicate things, but you want to talk to your accountant, tax preparer,
right,
and run it through, because you may have other kinds of investment income that would benefit from offsetting this.
Sure.
And then if you did depreciate, you would owe, you know, the recapture, which is 25% of that when you sell.
Right.
And you just want to understand what that, unless you're going to sell it and buy another investment property and do a like-kind exchange.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do the exchange, then, you know, you'd basically defer whatever you would owe into the next property. But again, you know, the tax strategies are a great thing to think about ahead of time, and to spend a little bit of money now with your tax advisor so that you can work all of these details out and you know where you're going. Because the last thing you want to do is get there and go, huh, now what? That would be that would not be the optimal thing. Happy Thanksgiving, Jack. Appreciate the call. It's 20 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Our number, 404-872-0750. Weigh in online. Twitter, that's where the conversation is happening. I'm at Glink, at GLINK. Stay tuned for more of the Clark Howard Show next on News Talk WSB. Welcome back, everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark today. So happy to be here pre-Thanksgiving. It's hard to believe my whole family arrives this afternoon. We'll be cooking and scraping potatoes and do all kinds of things this afternoon. Let's go to the phones. Joyce joins us on the line from Canton. Hi, Joyce.
Hey, how are you, Elise?
I'm good. How are you? What's on your mind today? Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. I got three little questions I want to ask you, and then you can answer me.
Okay.
I'm simple. I don't have any money. I lost that all in the stock market.
Okay.
Number one, can I make my own trust?
Like a living trust?
What do you mean a living trust?
Well, what do you mean? What are you trying to do with your trust?
Put my property in a trust.
Okay. For what purpose?
For what purpose? Oh, I want it to be held for a while.
Okay.
I'm gone.
Okay. So you want, okay. So a living trust would allow you to hold legal title. It would hold legal title to the property for another person known as the beneficiary. And you can be the trustee of your own living trust and you can keep full control over all of it. Is that what you want?
Well, I'm just making this so when I die.
It passes more easily.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It is a living trust that you're interested in.
Okay.
You can create one in Georgia.
Okay.
So it would help because Georgia does not use the Uniform Probate Code, which simplifies the probate process. So a living trust would help. You still need a will, and you can do it yourself.
Okay. Number one, the taxes on the property. If I make a trust.
What taxes?
Will it roll over as what my taxes are now? I don't have to pay school taxes.
No. Once it rolls over, unless the person is of the same age as you, no. They'll have to pay. In the trust, if you're the beneficiary, then I believe it would stay the same. But once you are not the beneficiary, then the tax would change.
Well, see, I just want a trust when I'm gone. I don't care about a living trust.
Okay. Well, no, A living trust is just the name of the trust. It's not about you living or dying. There is no dying trust. It's really, the living trust
you
is...
That's what I wanted to know.
Yeah, no, it's just called a living trust, and you put the assets into the trust, and then when you die, the trust then transfers those assets in. So big mistake people make... is they create a trust or they pay somebody to create a trust, but they never actually transfer the assets in. That's the key thing, is to get that property transferred in. Now, if you want to do it yourself, and I advise you to get a lawyer, but if you want to do it yourself, go to a website like NOLO.com. NOLO.com. And in their search engine, type in Living Trust in Georgia, and it will pop up what you need to do, and they have a form you can buy online, and then it'll tell you what to do with that form, how to get it notarized and take care of it. And that would probably be the easiest thing to do. 29 minutes past the hour, Thanksgiving week here on the Clark Howard Show. Stay tuned. I'm Elise Glink, and I'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Blink, sitting in for Clark today. Glad you could join us for our annual Thanksgiving week celebration. It is 37 minutes past the hour. Our number, 404-872-0750. We're online all the time. The website, thinkglink.com, thinkglink.com. If you're looking for the turkey recipe, just go to thinkglink.com and type in the words turkey and recipe, and it'll pop right up. We also did something new yesterday. Everybody in the office, in the ThinkLink office, we all decided to put in our favorite Thanksgiving cocktail recipes. I don't actually have a cocktail recipe that I like that much, although everybody else is very creative. But instead, I added my red yam green apple casserole, which I think you'll really enjoy as well, and I'm looking forward to making that tomorrow morning. It tastes like dessert to me. What could be better? Apples and sweet potato. So that's what we did. So you'll find that as well up on thinklink.com. Anything we can do to help make this holiday a little nicer for you, happy to do that. 38 minutes past the hour. There's a new survey out from Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate that baby boomers are doing everything they can to assist their children and grandchildren with first home purchases. It has become so much more difficult to secure financing, and if you're a first-time buyer, it's even harder. If you're self-employed, it's even harder. And so Better Homes and Gardens Real Estate commissioned a survey that found the baby boomers are actively participating in their children's and grandchildren's first home purchases. The survey found that 1 in 5 baby boomers have already gifted, loaned, or co-signed a loan to their children and grandchildren for a down payment. Looking ahead, 1 in 10 baby boomers say they will definitely provide their children or grandchildren with financial support for a down payment on a home, and at least half hope to do so. Now, baby boomers say that their willingness to provide financial support is out of love, but providing assistance in the first home buying process, they also can ensure the children and grandchildren will benefit from their estate and fulfill a large part of the American dream. 68% of baby boomers are hoping to do some type of future financial support. The highest interest in providing support is among the younger boomers, 45 to 54, more affluent household incomes of 75,000 plus, and at least those who have one adult child, 18 to 34. It's just sort of interesting, the idea that there is, as we are seeing the average national home ownership rate fall, and it's fallen from a high of 67, and now it's somewhere around 63% of the American public owning a home. Baby boomer parents are out there trying to help their children achieve this part of the American dream. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Terry joins us on the line. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm well. First, let me thank you and Clark and all your people for the things that you do, for the help that you give. We all appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I'm so glad we can be of service.
I have a tax question. I received a gift from my brother. We are both over 65. His income is probably $100,000, and mine is about $50,000.
Okay.
The gift was in cash, $8,000. Can you tell me how we handle that on our tax forms?
There is no need to do anything. Your brother is allowed to, and you are as well, are allowed to give any individual a tax-free gift of up to $13,000 per year. So there's no need to disclose that on a gift tax form for him, and there's no need to disclose that gift on your tax form. It's not income. It's a gift.
Okay. So it won't show up. It won't decrease his income nor increase mine.
It's not going to change anybody's income, and it's not going to change anybody's gift credit or tax. There's no tax associated with it at all. He could have given you up to $13,000.
All right.
That should be good news. You're very welcome. Happy Thanksgiving. 41 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show, 404-872-0750. Will joins us on the line from Ackworth. Hi, Will.
Hi, Elise. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I'm looking into making a pretty significant purchase between $3,000 and $5,000.
That's pretty significant. What is it? What are you buying?
Just some musical equipment for personal enjoyment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at getting one of these 0% APR credit cards. I don't have the cash up front to buy these, but some are offering 21 months and some are offering 15. And within that, I could pay the full principal without ever incurring any interest.
Mm-hmm.
The old adage goes, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Is there anything I need to watch out for, any snares in terms of it sounds too good to get something now and pay it off in 15 months and pay nothing more than what they ring me up at the register for?
Well, I think you want to be very careful when you're looking at a credit card that it truly has 0% interest, that you understand what would trigger interest on the purchase,
mm-hmm.
that you understand when you have to start paying on that purchase. A lot of times, people think they get zero down payment, and it actually requires them to pay something before the zero balance is out. And if you don't, then you get charged interest retroactively for the whole year. So I would just want you to understand exactly what you're signing up for.
Okay.
So sometimes there's a... For example, I know Citi has a Platinum Select Visa right now. So the introductory rate is 0%. But you have to look at the credit card, right? Because if you look at the APR, it actually shows almost 12% to 22%, right? So it's the featured, if you look at CardTrack.com, CardTrack.com, and they're a great source of information about different credit card deals.
Mm-hmm.
You can read some of the fine item there, but it shows a $0 annual fee, zero interest rate, but an APR of 12 to 22%. So where does that actually kick in, and how can you make the best of it? But I think that that's a good website for you to go and really do some deep investigation.
All right. I pulled that up just now, so I'll give that a good look over. But in, I don't know what I'm... basically thinking of is I already have it mapped out. I would be paying well over the minimum and plan to pay the full principal off a month before the no interest deadline. So it seems to me like, I don't know, almost like, I know it's a bad phrase to use with credit cards, but almost like free money for now if I budget appropriately for it.
I think I'm okay with you doing it. People do it every day. Mm-hmm. I don't have a problem with you doing it as long as you know what you're doing and you understand the risk involved just in case you make a mistake.
Okay.
So I'm totally fine with you doing this. I would prefer that you've saved all the money ahead of time, but I know that just doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we want it to happen. You want to pay in cash. I mean, this is where Dave Ramsey and I sort of see eye to eye because I'm the kind of person who believes in deferred gratification. Like, mm-hmm. I don't believe in buying big-ticket items unless you already have the money in the bank. But sometimes that just doesn't work out. Sometimes you have a medical expense. Sometimes you need to buy something for your business. You're not going to have it saved up. But as long as you have a plan in place, you understand what the risks of the plan are, you've mitigated those risks, you understand what you need to do, you know, go for it.
All right. That's really what I wanted to hear, so...
Well, good luck, Will. I hope you enjoy playing whatever music. I was a musician myself in a former life, so I have a soft spot for that kind of thing. 45 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Cheryl joins us on the line. Cheryl, welcome back to the show.
Yes. Cell phones are great until the battery dies.
I think that's absolutely true. What's on your mind?
My question was, I have five properties. One is my primary residence, four rental properties. Four of the five houses are already paid off. I only have one house that has a mortgage on it, and that's at 6.125. It's an investment property loan. And I was wondering if I should do a cash out on my primary residence to bring the interest rate down to a lower amount.
How many years do you have left on that mortgage?
Probably about 25, 26.
So the problem with paying off the rental property is that you're taking an expense that's deductible, and you're trading it for one that's not deductible.
But isn't that just the interest rates? I mean, because isn't interest on your primary residence also a deductible?
No. Well, if you itemize...
I do.
If you itemize, it reduces.
Right. With rental properties, I definitely do itemize.
Right. So if you take this out, and let's say you get a 4% loan on your primary residence, right?
Okay.
After you... run that through the tax form, the net interest rate you probably pay on your primary property, it's not 4%, it's probably, let's say, 3%.
Okay.
There's probably a 25% discount you get. But for rental properties, the entire amount of the interest, my understanding, comes off against the income of the property.
Okay.
So it's a dollar-for-dollar deduction, basically. Now,
okay.
You're paying more than you would, but there is some sort of benefit there.
Okay.
So you probably want to talk, before you do this, I would go to your tax advisor, because you've got to definitely have a complicated tax return. Anytime you have more than one property, it's probably like 80, 90 pages your tax return every year.
Oh, no, it's not that bad, because I don't have it as a business. I have it as just, you know, personal property, but I have umbrella coverage on everything.
Okay. What I would do is I would run it by your tax preparer and say, let's look at it both ways. Let's look at it if I had this amount of money on a personal loan for my house, primary residence, at this percentage, and then there's the loan the way it is now, and which way do I come out ahead?
Okay.
Because I really can't tell you. I'm not running your numbers for you.
Right.
But
right.
You have to think about the reduction of what the cost is, right, for the rental property versus what the write-off is and what that would net out for you on the primary residence. And then you have the whole thing that you've now put your primary residence at risk.
Right.
As opposed to an investment property you don't live in.
Correct.
So that's something else. That's a separate issue you probably want to keep in mind.
Yeah. When you do sell a rental property, I heard you talking to somebody else about
tax-free exchanges
and having to bring it back in.
Yeah.
Do you sell your house lower than what it was originally purchased at? Does that still come into play? How does that work?
If you have taken depreciation, you always have to recapture that, whether or not you've made a profit on the property,
okay.
Is my understanding. It's separate, right? That's a tax, ongoing tax benefit that you received.
Right.
So you have to recapture that. The way you don't recapture that is you roll everything over into another purchase using a tax-free exchange.
Right.
That's a good question for your tax advisor, too, because with so many rental properties, it's probably a good idea to understand what your exit strategy is and what the cost of that exit strategy is. Because if you just sell these properties, you're going to have some fees in tax that you're going to have to pay. Or if you roll them into a different kind of property, what does that actually look like, and how do you have to make that work? So I think you've got at least an hour's worth of time that you might be wanting to buy so that you can have all of these questions answered by the person who actually has all of your numbers in front of him or her. 49 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Glenn. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB. 55 minutes past the hour in the Clark Howard Show. Thanks so much for joining us today. Delighted to be helping you out with Thanksgiving information and also what's going on for Black Thursday, Black Friday, and, of course, Cyber Monday. 404-872-0750. Coming up after the news, I'm going to have some special shopping tips for you so that you can make the most of Black Friday this year and figure out what you really need instead of maybe just sort of going and shopping, right? Andy joins us on the line now from Fayetteville. Hi, Andy. Welcome to the Clark Howard Show.
Hi, Lee. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
You too.
Thank you. What's
I
on your mind?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 08, my house was worth $175. Then I guess the housing crash or whatever. Now it's worth $110. And
that's a big drop.
I owe $71,600.
Okay.
And I was wondering, do you think I could get approved for a 10-year loan at about $72,000?
Yes, I do. If your house is really worth $110,000, you just need to have 20% down. If you get a $72,000 loan, you're looking at almost 30% down. So you or I should say equity of about 28%. So that should be well enough for you to get qualify for a 10-year loan. And of course, those loans are now going in the neighborhood of about 3%. So I unless there's something really crazy with your credit, I would think you'd be okay.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling the show. Happy Thanksgiving. 56 minutes past the hour. News Talk WSB. Let's see if we can get another quick call in here. Asmir joins us on the line from Buford. Welcome to the program.
Hi. My question is about refinancing. I do have a loan, a 10-year loan fix, and 5.37 interest rate.
Uh-huh.
And I have 6 years left on the loan. So my question is, do you think it's making sense to refinance? I was thinking of refinancing on 30-year loan, but the 5-year ARM, which is 2.6 right now, the interest. So I would continue paying the same amount what I'm paying right now. And if I do that, I'll calculate I would pay off 6 months earlier and cut a lot of interest. So my principal would be higher if I do that.
It just, Asmir, it sounds like a good solution, but it depends how much you're going to have to pay for the privilege of the refinance. If you have to pay $6,000, it's a waste.
No, I already told me because I only have a $70,000 left between $2,000 and $2,500.
So they want to charge you about, let's say, $2,500 to refinance?
Yes.
And you think you're going to save 6 months of payments?
I would be probably $8,000 good, and if I take the closing out, there should be like probably $4,000 or $5,000.
I think if you can save, if you're only going to have to be out of pocket $2,500, and you can even build that in if you don't have the cash, and you're going to save $8,000 or $10,000 over the next 5 years. I don't have a problem with this. I think this is a Thanksgiving gift. And you just have to understand what the costs are going to be out of pocket. But if you can drop your interest rate from 5.37%, 3 whole percentage points or almost 3 whole percentage points, that works for me. 59 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glinkin for Clark Howard today. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB.
Is Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Welcome back to the Clark Howard Show. It is 3:07, Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. Very excited. I love this holiday, and I am so thankful to all of the people who are serving on our behalf abroad or in this country. Thanks to our armed forces for all of the things that they do for us every single day. We as a nation and I personally are very grateful. 404-872-0750 is our number here at the station. Interesting story coming to light, and I do want to talk about Black Friday again in just a minute with some ideas for Cyber Monday, but, you know, I don't know about you, but I've noticed that I don't know who's on the end of my phone anymore. Now, I have caller ID, but the caller ID scam artists have learned how to be so very clever, and telemarketers are increasingly disguising their real identities and phone numbers just to get people to pick up the phone. So it may look like the IRS is calling, which they never do, by the way. And it may look like the Humane Society is calling. So no matter what your caller ID says, and this is a service that you are paying for, fake ID, as the New York Times put it today, is really more of the order. So you just don't know who's on the end of your phone. And you cannot trust your caller ID. Because if you pick up the phone and somebody's asking for your personal information and you think it's the IRS, you might give it to them. But you absolutely can't. Regulators across the country, Wisconsin and other states, are hearing more and more from consumers about caller ID spoofing or call laundering. These are the new terms. And the Federal Trade Commission, which already prohibits telemarketers from masking their identity, is now thinking about new rules. Last year, the FCC introduced rules to strengthen enforcement against the practice. Other lawmakers and states are working on it, but unfortunately, it's not enough. Now, I will pick up the phone because I think it's real, but of course it isn't, just like you would pick it up as well. But it's debt collectors, it's people who are doing surveys, it's people hitting you up for money at the end of the year. So it's really a problem. And when you've got ID caller spoofing and you combine that with automated dialing technology, which some people call robocalling, you're just getting an explosion of fake phone call ID. So the Trade Commission said in September it received 140,000 complaints about pre-recorded robocalls, which was double the complaints the same month a year ago, right? The FTC said this week that it had filed a complaint against a company for violating its rules prohibiting the use of robocalling by telemarketers and the masking of caller ID. So the company, Sun K Communications, sold robocall servicers to telemarketers, and that generated tens of thousands of complaints. And they were trying to sell home security systems, and they used caller ID readouts that said service message or service announcement. So they filed suit against them. But the tricksters are getting much more sophisticated, and the technology is allowing people to be called from wherever. My cell phone gets called nonstop. Nonstop. People are texting me that I don't know. They're calling me, and I really have had to guard myself just against hitting instant redial, because that's just not going to get me anywhere. You have to sort of assume now that all of these calls are fake. In fact, I had a friend tell me earlier today that if she doesn't know who's calling her, she doesn't actually have them already in her cell phone book, she just will not take the call, which I think is actually a great idea. So it's kind of interesting to watch how this is going to come about. I mean, I feel violated in a way because I pay for caller ID. I want to know who's calling me. It's my right to know who's going to take my time up before I answer the call. And these people are zapping it, and I really don't like it. So there's something called the Mobile Information Call Act that would hopefully not allow businesses to use robocalls to reach consumers on their cell phones. We'll have to see. Under the legislation, businesses and nonprofits could reach people on their cell phones, even if you have picked up on opt-out. So I think we should just watch this. I know Clark will stay on top of it for you, but you should watch it as well. Watch who calls you on your caller ID, which, by the way, has been a huge profit center for all of the telephone companies. Watch who's calling you, and I think increasingly you're going to see that you've been duped, just as I have. 404-872-0750. Let's go back to the phones. Dave joins us on the line. Dave, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Elise.
How can I help you today?
Well, I've had a longtime boarder that may be moving out any month now, and we've had the same arrangement in terms of rent. It's been a flat rate, including utilities, all this time. And I have heard that rental property and rent in general have been heading up the last year or two due to, you know, the big changes in housing factors. And just trying to get an idea of whether I should just stay static with what I would charge the next person or potentially raise it a little bit.
Has it been static for 10 years?
No, it's been static for about five.
you know, what you're offering is a very specialized service, and it's for a very specialized group. You want ideally one person who's going to be in your, you know, use this arrangement for a long period of time. You know, I don't know if that's going to be easy or hard to find in your area, but I think you could raise the rent a little, $50 a month,
mm-hmm.
and see who you get. And I think you'll find pretty quickly if somebody, a bunch of people come in, but they try to negotiate you back down, that, you know, where you'd hope to be wasn't quite right. And if you get somebody who says, okay, I'm in, you could have an arrangement by where the rent goes up at 5% per year.
Mm-hmm.
So okay. I think there are a couple of different ways to slice that. And you can test it out. And guess what? If you don't get anybody at, say, $550 a month or whatever you're offering, go back to $500.
Well, I noticed, and, you know, since I live in this area, same as you, utilities have started to pump up on us. My water bill's up considerably.
Oh, sure.
Electricity's up. That used to be kind of a static low thing. Now it seems to be increasing at an increasing rate.
Well, I think, you know, if you get an extra 50 or maybe the right number is $100 a month or $75 a month, and then you put in a 5% increase for the, you know, as you go beyond in the years, I think that'll allow you to pretty much stay on top of where you need to be.
Mm-hmm.
So at least you're netting out those extra expenses. But I think the person who's going to want this kind of arrangement is going to want to literally come in, hand you a check, and that's it. They don't want to be bothered with, oh, I'll take 10% of your water bill or something. I think they just want something really neat and clean. So you have to look at how much your costs are, what you were getting, what you think is fair, and then just test the market. Put out your ad wherever you're going to advertise it and see if you get any bites.
Okay, will do.
Good. Let me know how it goes. And happy Thanksgiving. 15 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. Karen joins us on the line from Powder Springs. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Elise.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for taking my call, and happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving back at you.
My husband and I are interested in refinancing. We are upside down about $20,000 due to the downturn in the value of our home. I know that we do not have a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan.
What kind of a loan do you have?
Well, I've tried to call, and all I can get out of the loan carrier is that we have an unconventional loan.
Okay. Did you do a pay option ARM?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a fixed rate loan that we have about 20 years left on.
Okay.
And we're at 6.5%. We have good income. We have a great credit score in the 800s.
Mm-hmm.
But can't refinance. And I know that there are new government programs out, but I know that you have to have a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac.
That's right.
Is there anything that will help us?
I really don't think there is. Not that I've run across. So if your lender is unwilling to help you,
And they're not. No.
How, you think you're about $20,000 underwater?
Yes.
Do you have $20,000 in cash?
We do have it. We could, you know, rob this account or that account, or, I mean, yeah, we could get it.
Okay, so I think you should.
We would have to borrow it from ourselves.
I think you should think about doing that. If it's that important to you to refinance, then you should get the money and do what is now known as a cash-in refinance instead of a cash-out, doing a cash-in. So you bring some cash to the table, and then you should be able to refinance into an FHA loan. Or if you get enough to have a 3% down payment, you might be able to do conventional.
So we would need not only the cash, the difference in what the house is worth and what we owe, but we would also need an additional amount of money for a down payment.
Right, to put a little bit of equity in. So for an FHA loan, it would be 3.75%. But the thing you have to understand is then you will have to have private mortgage insurance added to your loan. Do you have that now?
I don't think so.
Did you put down 20% when you bought your house?
Well, this was a refi. The current loan that we have was a refi.
Okay, does the refi have... What I'm trying to get at is that private mortgage insurance has gotten very, very expensive. And so if you refinance and you don't have 20% down in cash, you will have to have private mortgage insurance, right?
Okay, yeah.
And if you have private mortgage insurance, it may change whether refinancing is going to make sense for you.
Okay.
So you would want to refinance, since you have 20 years left, you'd want to go to a 15-year loan.
Right.
And that would drop your interest rate down to, let's say, 3.5%, maybe 3.25%. Okay? So you'd actually lose 3%, and your payment should go down, or it would be about the same. So that would be great, and you'd save all this money. And then you could start paying yourself back.
Would it be better to get what they call the amortization chart and just pay extra every month?
So what you might want to do is you might want to pay a huge chunk of what you owe and just as a one-time payment, say put $20,000 or $40,000 down and have your loan re-amortized. Because instead of having 20 years left, that might take you down to 15 years left. That would shave off a huge amount of the interest right off the bat. So, because you're just cutting that down. If you can't do a loan without PMI, and you don't have PMI now, that's one way to achieve a significant amount of savings. And usually most lenders will allow you to make one really huge payment and then re-amortize the schedule for you. And maybe that's something to look at instead of refinancing. But if without a Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac loan, you're really not going to qualify for the new government programs. And I wish you would. Happy Thanksgiving, Karen. It's 20 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more on News Talk WSB. 26 minutes past the hour on the Clark Howard Show. I'm Elise Blank, sitting in for Clark today. Glad you could join us here. Let's go back to the phone. Sherry joins us on the line from Stockbridge. Hi, Sherry.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you. The same to you. I've really enjoyed listening to you the last couple of days. Clark, really better watch out.
You are very, very kind, but I think Clark and I have been good friends for a long time.
Yes, he's a really good guy. But I know you have a lot of callers waiting, so I have a rental home that is empty right now that I wanted to refinance. But what I'm finding out is I forget what the percentage rate is. It's much higher on rental property to refinance as if I lived in the home and it was my regular residence.
That's right.
The loan was $82,000. I owe $71,000 on it, but my interest rate is 7%. I have a credit rating of 720, and I wondered if it's fair. I can move back in the house for a few months just to get it refinanced, but I wondered how fair that is. I rent a home now from a family member. It's a larger home. So I have an FHA. And I wondered what your advice on that is, if there, and I already pay insurance that is into that payment.
You know, I think Sherry, it's really tough. I mean, I think that if you move back into the home for a few months, you're really not there. You're not a primary owner. You have to sign some papers that say you're going to live there for at least a year, and nothing's really changed. And that's not really true. And I really can't advise you to lie on your mortgage forms just to lower your interest rate. So I think you have to rethink this. And why don't you try talking to some lenders? Because you may qualify for a 5% interest rate on that property, and then you'll be like, oh, well, at least 5% is better than 7%. So I'd really love to see you shop around before you make any move. 29 minutes past the hour. I'm Elise Glank. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Clark Howard on AM 750 and now 95.5 FM News Talk WSB.
Minutes past the hour, 3:36 p.m. I'm Elise Kling, sitting in for Clark today. I'll be back on Friday as well, the official Black Friday, although honestly, things are getting started so early tomorrow of all days. Earlier, we ran through a list of everything going on for Black Friday. That's actually starting on Thursday. I think Target is the one that starts the earliest this year. Pretty soon, next year, I'm sure that today we'll be saying Black Friday starts today. In fact, all the deals are starting to come out. I was checking my email during the break, and I'm on, you know, a million different lists, and I saw one from Neiman Marcus, which now, by the way, is accepting American, not just American Express, but MasterCard and Visa. Wow, it only took them a few years to do that. But meanwhile, they have a sale up to 50%, plus you get a $50 gift card if you spend $100 or more. So that's a pretty good deal at all the in-store Neiman Marcus's tomorrow. So the deals are starting to come out. We're starting to get more and more emails about what's going to happen this week, Friday, and next Monday for Cyber Monday. And I think it's pretty interesting how companies who must really try to attract your attention, what they're trying to do to get you to actually whip out that credit card and shop like crazy. They're very desperate for you to do that this year. 404-872-0750. Let's continue on with the calls. Dennis joins us on the line from Atlanta. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Elise. I'm so glad I reached you. I am on my way to a closing, and I want to make sure I'm prepared because I have a quick question for you that a couple of other lenders in Atlanta have said, no, you can't possibly have what they're telling you have. It's too good to be true. And I said, okay, well, here's what I'm getting. I have currently a 4.25 on a 15-year loan on my home in Atlanta. And I've been keeping my eyes open and thinking if I could get a no-cost refi, I would grab it if I could get the rate down enough. Well, what I've got is 3.375 on a 10-year note, and no closing costs with the exception of $305 and the interest due from the first of the month that I would, you know, have
to
pay.
Yeah, prepaid interest. You always have to do that.
Prepaid interest. And I wanted to ask you, and I got my HUD one, and it seems to be consistent with everything they're telling me. And are there any things I should look out for here, surprises? Because I'm going to their attorney for the closing. I don't have my own representation, even though I feel like I've done my homework. I just want to be prepared.
I think it sounds like you found a good deal. My sister just got almost that exact same deal. She got a 10-year note, 3.25%. I think her closing cost might have been $600 or $700 instead of $300, but that I would call that right in the same ballpark.
Right, right.
So I don't, on a 10-year loan, that seems just about right for me.
Okay.
So I think you've actually found a really good deal, and if lenders are telling you it's too good to be true, that's because they don't have anything that they can offer you that's that good.
Right. Where I got confused is how could one bank or one company have something that another one can't have in the
That's
same
an city. Excellent question. I'm so glad you asked that question. Let me explain. And I love this. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and FHA are now guaranteeing 91 or 92% of all the mortgages out there. So you would think that every lender that's Fannie, Freddie, or FHA would have the same stuff. But they don't. Because different lenders have different costs. Some have more costs online, some have more costs in person, some have more bricks and mortar, some have more employees, some employees get better benefits. There's all kinds of things that go into the formula.
Okay.
And then in addition to that, if you're working with a mortgage broker, they have a pool of, like, say, 300 investors or 30 investors or whatever the number is, and they have different ones. So it's who's going to really buy the paper. And then the lenders to charge whatever they charge on it. And so you found somebody who has a great deal for you. You're going to the closing. You're going to close on it. I think you're going to be very happy.
Okay, can I ask you one other thing? Can
sure.
I say a name of a bank, or is that not allowed?
You could go ahead. It's Thanksgiving.
Currently, I'm with Wells Fargo, and I trust them, and I know they're well-known. And this would be through a local bank that then told me it would go through Fifth and Third, and they're not as well-known, and I started thinking I never heard of them. Is that
Fifth Third is a huge bank.
Okay.
Fifth Third is a huge, huge, huge bank, and they're not quite as big. Bank of America is the biggest, you know, but they're pretty big. I wouldn't even call them regional anymore. They're all over the place. So
okay.
I would not worry about Fifth Third at all. Local banks are desperate to get these kinds of deals. I'm not surprised that you're being offered this great deal by it would be a credit union or a local or a small regional bank.
Right.
It seems good. What I would just say is when you get there, look at your paperwork.
Right.
Right? There will be at least one or two pages that looks at the total amount you're borrowing, what the interest rate is, what the costs are, your HUD one, and just make sure that everything ties out the way you expect. And if you can't find it in the paperwork, what I want you to do is simply say to the closing agent, can you show me the page where it says X? Now, you're going to have to sign them all, but a lot of people just sign. They don't even, it's like robo-signing. They don't even read the stuff. But I want you to do it just to make sure, because I've gotten to the closing table several times over the last 10 years, and there has been wrong interest rates or wrong address or my name is spelled wrong.
Right.
Little tiny things, but those things count and they have to be accurate. So they can fix anything at the closing table before you close.
Right, and that brings me to my last question where I get confused sometime. It says my rate is 3.375, but then it says the APR is 3.51. And when I asked them, they said, oh, that's the other expenses. They're all rolled into one, but since you have a no-cost closing, you don't have to worry. We're paying those. Is that?
Yes.
Kosher, or is that?
No, it's fine. The APR, okay. APR is kind of a misnomer, and it confuses people more than anything. It's a snapshot of what the expenses are sort of today and rolled in.
Right,
but they're right. You're not really paying for those. I would not worry about your APR. What you really want to see on the loan documents is what the loan interest rate is.
Okay.
And make sure that you've got, and I just went through this. Sam and I literally just refinanced again a few months ago, you know, down to a really unbelievable rate again. And, it, you know, you just go through this, and you, if you do enough of these, you see the documents. And my husband, Sam, being a real estate attorney, does this all day long. So I'm the one who, he just kind of skims through it, and I'm like, wait, I want to go back and read page two.
Right. So, well, I would feel better if you were coming with me, but it sounds like you're saying I'm okay.
I would love to come with you, Dennis, but then my Mexican chocolate cupcakes wouldn't get baked, and
my
brother-in-law would be really, really mad.
I hear you.
I think you're in good shape, and I think you found a great deal, and when you get there, just don't be shy. If you see a mistake, you've got to promise me you're going to speak up and get it fixed, even if it means everybody's going to stay there an extra hour or two.
I'm going to ask any questions I have to ask. So
please, that sounds
your
perfect.
Encouragement. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Dennis. Let me know how it goes. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Yes, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye. 44 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Richard joins us on the line. Hi, Richard.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving there.
What's on your mind?
I've got it's a multi-billion dollar design that I've basically come up with. It's so simple, I'm surprised nobody's actually come up with this idea. And I don't have the funds to build a prototype or to get any kind of funding. And I was wondering, is there any particular agency that I can approach with my design and possibly get it? A prototype made so that I can start on this?
You know, that's really interesting. You don't happen to be like 18 to 20 years old, are you?
No, I'm far from that.
The reason I asked is that I started the show.
I heard that. I was waiting just moments after you had spoken about that, but my line went down and it took me forever to get back on.
Well, the Thiel Foundation is what I was talking about earlier, Thiel, and they are doing this 20 under 20 fellowship to, you know, give $100,000 to somebody just like you to start this idea, but you're a little bit too old for them.
Right.
I don't know if they have any programs for people who are older than you.
Right.
I mean, older than 20, but it's worth a try. Seeing if you can get in that way. The next idea is to try and either patent your idea or make some sort of, you've got to figure out a way to not have it be stolen. So whether it's patenting it or
that's what I'm worried about, because it's such a simplistic design that we're talking billions upon billions of people will use this product.
So what you need to do is actually find an attorney who can help you patent a design idea. If it's a design and you can actually create a mock-up or you've got drawings that patentable.
I'm an artist, so I've come up with the specs. I've got all the dimensions and everything. I mean,
so,
I've got it all basically laid out on paper.
Okay. So one thing you can do... Right, you need the next step. So you can either contact a patent attorney in town and start to work through it that way, or you might want to contact score.org, which is score.org, which is a wonderful mentoring organization,
mm-hmm.
and you may be able to find somebody there who's in a similar industry who can help you or maybe partner with you.
Right.
Bringing in the money, and you guys can share it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
I'm not worried about sharing. That doesn't bother me at all. I just need to, get this prototype built. Once I get the prototype built, I'm talking, it's gonna fly.
Well, I think it sounds fantastic. I just would say you'd probably want to talk to an attorney first, just to protect yourself and figure out what it is that you have and what you need to make something patentable. And then I would start that process.
Mm-hmm.
So typically what happens with a patent is that it becomes, provided it's approved, it becomes effective as of the date that you put in the patent.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, once you actually have the paperwork, and then you can go contact somebody at score.org and see if they can match you up with the right kind of person, and then you can start your work from there.
Okay. Now, would this be under attorneys... for looking up a patent attorney?
Well, here's what I would do. I would call the Georgia Bar Association or the Atlanta Bar Association, and I would ask for the head of the patent law committee. And when you get to the person who's the head of the patent law committee, you tell them that you heard about it on the radio and that you have an idea and a drawing and you want to get a referral to a patent lawyer who has worked with this kind of thing before. And what it is... the people who head up these committees, they're really the most connected people out there. They're the ones, they know all the attorneys. They're the ones who organize the updating and the programs that the attorneys have to take so that they stay on top of what's going on in their own fields. And so they really know who's around and who's good. So I would start there.
Okay.
And then I would get with that patent attorney and start the conversation and say, what do I need to do next?
Right, okay. But you said also try this feel thing, possibly. They might have something for my age or something. Possibly.
Well, I don't know if they do or if they don't. But the Thiel Foundation, T-H-I-E-L, he is one of the early investors in Facebook. He was one of the co-founders of PayPal. Seems like they're probably open to an interesting idea, but you need to have more than a drawing. You need a business plan, and you need to understand a little bit about the manufacturing industry, and you'd have to go in with a proposal. That's what the score.org person can help you do. That's what they do. They mentor you and they help develop that idea to a place where it can actually do some help. So those are two different avenues to pursue, and hopefully one of them is going to provide the answer. 404-872-0750. I'm Elise Glink, sitting in for Clark. Let's check traffic, see what's going on out there. 56 minutes past the hour, News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Glick. It's Thanksgiving. Well, almost. I'll be back on Friday for sure, and we'll chat about the day, how your turkey came out. You can tweet pictures of your turkey. I'd love to see it, especially if you used my Thanksgiving turkey recipe available at thinklink.com. I am at Glink, at GLINK. Deborah joins us on the line. Hey, Deborah. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. I've been contemplating on calling and finally got up the nerve to do it.
Oh, there's no need to be nervous. What can I do to help you?
My question is, I have an 05 Lexus that I bought back in 08. It's not scheduled to be paid off until around 2014.
2014? How many years out did you buy that car? I mean, how much refinance? It's like a 9-year car loan?
No, 6. I bought it in 08.
Oh, 08. Okay, you bought an 06 Lexus in 08.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Back here in the summer, I was laid off. And it's kind of been a struggle to pay it.
Are you reemployed?
No, I'm not reemployed yet.
Okay. And what do you want to do?
My question is, do you know if there are any companies out there that are willing to help refinance auto loans?
There are, but not when you don't have a job.
Okay.
Having income is really key here. So, for example, Chase actually has a refinance deal. And I don't know if the car would even qualify, because typically it needs to be a pretty new loan or a new car.
Mm-hmm.
But you could look into it. But I know if you don't have a job, I know they're not going to, I can't imagine how they would approve you.
Okay.
So that's really the thing. The minute you get a job, I think you should try and apply. And you can search online for different lenders and talk around. Sometimes credit unions help you do this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's what I would do. How's it looking, the job prospects?
Right now, it's not looking good at all.
Ooh, I'm so sorry, Deborah. Well, let's hold a good hope and a Thanksgiving prayer that you're going to find a job very soon and hopefully before even the new year. And at that point in time, go back and revisit the whole refinancing of your car loan. It's 58 minutes past the hour. Time for me to go cook Thanksgiving dinner. I'm sure the rest of you guys are going to get started as well. Sean Hannity is next. Not so bad for cooking. A little information along the way. I'll be back on Friday with our deals of the day and information to help you get through Cyber Monday as well. I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Eat lots of stuffing. I'll talk to you on Friday.